A huge German shepherd with a mind of his own, Gnarly and Mac had a love-hate relationship. When he listened to Mac, or took it upon himself to act in Mac or Archie's defense, it was love. When he was committing petty larceny, it was hate. At this moment, it was love. "Watch yourself," Mac told Beavis. "That first step is a doozy." Beavis pointed at the dog whose tongue was hanging out the side of his mouth in what appeared to be a laugh.
"He clipped me on purpose!"
Lily offered her hand to help him up.
"Really, Beavis, he's a dog. They aren't capable of doing things on purpose. What is it with you two? You've been paranoid about him ever since you met him."
"I don't like the way he looks at me."
Shoving his cell phone into his pocket, he smoothed his hair with both of his hands.
"I know he stole my phone the other day. That's why I had to go out yesterday to buy a new one."
"Why would a dog steal your cell phone?" Lily asked.
When Mac cast a glance in Gnarly's direction, the dog scurried over to hide behind Archie.
"The sooner we get this started, the sooner we can get it over with."
David moved to the door with Bogey directly behind him. Mac, Beavis, and Lily fell in behind them. Archie grasped Gnarly's collar to hold him inside with her and Florence to watch through the window. As soon as the media saw David step out of the house, a hush fell over the journalists. Cameras were poised to frame him in their shot when the police chief stepped up to the bank of microphones that they had set up on a makeshift podium in the driveway. Beavis leaned against the porch railing with his arms folded across his chest. His tubby stomach rolled over his belt. Mac wondered if that smirk ever left his face. It seemed to be permanently etched there. Behind him, Lily chewed on her pinky finger. Bogey, Mac, and two of David's officers positioned themselves behind him in a show of support when the police chief began his statement.
"Four nights ago, on Wednesday night, 21-year-old Chloe Everest, accompanied by two friends, went out for an evening of clubbing. During the course of the evening, she became separated from her friends. Chloe Everest did not make it home. Witnesses have told our investigators that they saw Chloe parked at a boat launch on Deep Creek Lake. She was seen speaking to a young man. On Thursday morning, her mother, Florence Everett, who was out of town on a business trip, received a phone call from her daughter's cell phone in which she was screaming and crying for help during what seemed to be an attack. They were abruptly cut off. Ms. Everest immediately contacted our police department. Since that time, we've been searching for Chloe Everest. All of you have received pictures of Ms. Everest. We are still searching for the young man with whom she was last seen. At this time, I'd like to distribute composite pictures that have been made of him based on witness descriptions."
"Is he a suspect?"
a journalist called out. "Right now, we only want to talk to him," David said. "He is wanted for questioning." "Do you think Chloe's disappearance is in any way connected to the Amber Houston disappearance and murder in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?" another journalist shouted out. "They're about the same age and disappeared in the same way. Could it be the same killer?" Another journalist agreed.
"Have you checked the dumpsters belonging to motels in the area, like the one in McHenry?"
"We are examining all possibilities," David said. "Until we get evidence suggesting otherwise, we're operating on the assumption that Chloe is alive."
Over the heads of the journalists, Mac saw a car pull up as far as it could go on the blocked road and turn off to get out of traffic. Squinting, he could see a young, dark-haired woman behind the wheel. She fluffed her hair with her hands and checked her lipstick in the rearview mirror before opening the door and sliding out of the driver's seat. With a broad grin on her face, she sashayed up the driveway in her high heels and fire-engine red short skirt. Mac was still trying to find the words to express his surprise when Lily abruptly screamed,
"Chloe!"
It took a full moment for the journalist to react. Cameras followed the line of Lily's pointing finger to the young woman in the driveway striking a pose for the cameras.
"What's going on?" she asked with a giggle in her voice. "Has someone been killed?"
While the journalists mobbed the subject of the search, David turned to gaze at Mac in stunned disbelief. Not only was Chloe Everest alive, but judging by the glee in her face while posing for the cameras, she was doing extremely well.